I've got a little sort of a wrap-up talk with a few comments about practicing with the Brahma Viharas that we maybe didn't get a chance to get to, that sort of applies to the whole kind of ball of wax. And then we'll have some time for more questions and stuff. So it'll be fairly short, but maybe it'll bring up a few points that maybe you've been wondering about and haven't had a chance to ask questions about. So just a few minutes offering some thoughts about practicing with these Brahma Viharas as we go forward into our lives. And I know some of you are really experienced practicing with them, so you have your own methods and your own ways of doing things, but some of you are newer, so maybe some of these thoughts will help you. And I think just as we've been spending this day together, one of the things that has certainly come home to me, and I think to everybody, is that practicing metta and the other Brahma Viharas is really a big help to us in opening our hearts and developing these feelings of kindness, these various different kinds of love, of connection, offering support and help, of celebrating, of allowing. Really, really big help in all kinds of situations, in everyday life and on the cushion too. And it's a really good support for our Vipassana practice also in more than one way. I mean, there's the sense of it helps us to cultivate that kind of attitude of openness and love and acceptance that we need, but it also is a really good practice to kind of calm the mind, steady the mind. Repeating those phrases can be a really wonderful type of concentration practice too. So for some people, they enjoy doing some of this at the beginning of their sit just to really steady the body and mind. It's another way of doing that, sort of the way that you might use the breath. You can maybe use metta or Brahma Vihara too. So it's really good in that way. And of course, it's a huge support in everyday life when we're facing things that are really painful and difficult. There can be times like I was mentioning this when we had our small group, but like for me, there was one time when I had a lot of fear coming up in practice, just overwhelming fear. And there was no way I could just sit with it and be mindful. It was just too much. I was like, ah! all over the place. But I found that the one thing I could do was repeat those metta phrases. And so that's what I did. It was just, may I be safe. May I be happy. Over and over and again. And it just kind of calmed my mind down enough. So I was able to get to a place where I wasn't so overwhelmed. And so they can work that way, during times of grief, confusion, fear, equanimity phrases can work that way as well. And really help us to just be with something that's really difficult. But it's also important to remember that they're wonderful supports when we're in a position of overwhelm. And skillful means when we are in a point where it's more than we can handle and we can't just be with it. But it isn't a substitute for actually being with whatever is occurring with mindfulness. So they're really wonderful to use. They're really helpful, but it's also good to be careful of using these practices as a way of avoiding being with sensations, thoughts, or emotions that you just don't want to be with. It's like, I feel a little uncomfortable, so I'm going to go do metta to get that to go away. Or, I don't want to think about blah, 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 so I'm going to do metta to get it to go away. Not using them in that way, but really using them as a support to bring you to a place where you're more able to open to what's occurring. So just using some judgment as you're applying them in your practice. And there are lots and lots of ways for practicing them and working with them. Some people like to do a little bit of metta, say, at the beginning of every set or at the end of every set. Or you can set aside specific days when your whole practice, you know, you just do a Brahma Vihara for that whole period of time, for that whole sitting. Sometimes, you know, you might want to go through the whole range of people like we did, but you don't have to. You might just focus on one or two and, you know, say if you have half an hour, you know, maybe you do yourself and a dear friend that you're thinking of. You know, you can sort of do it as you want. Using the phrases is really helpful for a lot of people, but you can also focus more on visual images, feelings in the heart center of love. There's a lot of flexibility. So, you know, use your own judgment in what works for you. And I think Lauren's example of how she modified the phrases to get something that really spoke to her is a great example. You know, this is something that you can do too, you know, finding what works for you. If one particular Brahma Vihara really speaks to you, like you just got a real connection with sympathetic joy, you could choose a period and just, you know, do that Brahma Vihara for a month or more. You know, there's a lot of flexibility. And also, you don't necessarily have to do it as a formal sitting practice. You can do it informally while you're doing chores or walking. I mean, I think one of my favorites before COVID used to be, this is a great practice for me to do when I'm sitting in a traffic jam, you know. Or I've heard people say, oh, I do it when I'm in the checkout counter line waiting. I'll do metta for the people around me. So there's a lot of things you can do. And also, it's also a mindfulness practice. So if the formal practice of the phrases doesn't work for you, or I mean, maybe even if it does and you want to do something else, you can incorporate the Brahma Viharas into your mindfulness practice. You know, being aware of these states of mind when they arise naturally, which they will. I mean, this can be really good because you realize, yes, this is in me and I have the potential, and being aware of it really encourages it. Or when difficult states arise, you can, you know, kind of see, can I bring some quality of compassion to this? Can I bring a quality of equanimity to this? So whether we're doing a formal practice or not, these Brahma Viharas really infuse everything. Mindfulness itself incorporates it. As one of my teachers, Michelle McDonald, says, you know, our mindfulness awareness is not just awareness, it's affectionate awareness. Mm-hmm. So it's awareness with that love in it. So that's a wonderful way to incorporate the metta into your mindfulness practice. And one last thing is that sometimes we think of these as sort of easy, feel-good practices, especially metta, but it isn't always easy, as you have probably found if you've been doing this for any length of time. So if you're struggling, you shouldn't feel discouraged. These practices are sometimes, you know, called purification practices too. They're considered purification practices. So if there are obstacles to kindness or compassion there in your mind, trying to cultivate these mind states can bring these to the surface so they can be seen. And that's a good thing. You know, I know that I had a lot of trouble with metta when I first started practicing, because as soon as I'd start practicing, all these feelings of unworthiness would come up. I'm not kind enough. I'm not loving enough. I can't be doing this right because I'm not a good enough person, et cetera, et cetera. And it took me a long time to get to a point where, you know, one time I was sitting there doing metta for, I think it was like a family member dear friend. And all of a sudden I realized, you know, I really do care about this person and I do really wish them well. So why am I saying it's not good enough, you know? And, you know, kind of realizing, yes, you know, I do feel meta for people that are close to me, and maybe it's harder for difficult people, but that's why they're difficult, you know? So it's not supposed to be perfect. It's a practice. So, you know, recognizing that there's a reason we start with an easy being and then move on to the more difficult is because it's hard for everybody. So it's good to keep that in mind as we do these practices. So that's my sort of little summary of thoughts and suggestions. Does anybody else, any other LDLs have anything that they would like to add?
No, I don't have anything to add. I really liked the whole recap, yeah, emphasizing all those points. And the ones I forgot, you got to.
Good. Well, in that case,
I guess the only thing I'd say, just to kind of almost piggyback on what you said, just to me, this is all, these are the perfect area for sticky people, difficult people. So, you know, whenever you bump into a situation that's a drag, to pull up your meta portfolio and use it, because it's just right there that it works so well. And you know, for me, this is where, not so much in the cushion, I'm just not so much a meta on the cushion or Brahma Viharas in the cushion person, but out in the walks of life,
yeah,
I use it constantly. And especially when it's just at the moment when it's just not working, that's the time to pull it up and see which one's applicable. Yeah.
And you might be surprised with these difficult people, how even though, you know, there's all these obstacles, you don't feel any meta, this or that, you can be surprised how things can change. Mm-hmm. You may not just be, oh, I just love this person, but there might be some opening of, well, you know, yeah, they're difficult, but I can kind of see that they're a human being too. You know.
One other thing I guess I would say is that another doorway into it is that sometimes when I'm confronted with a difficult person, one of the first thoughts is how grateful I am that I'm not in that body mind, you know, that I'm not as entangled in their way. And then there's the gratitude. And then I think, oh, but I'm entangled in my own way, and the connection happens. But it comes in sometimes from first just going, oh my God, you seem to be in a lot of pain, and pain as in not so much physical, but the kind of the way that, yeah, Steve was describing, the suffering and entanglement. So it's just another, you know, there are a lot of different doorways, I think, that we can get into opening our hearts to people and to, yes, ourselves.
It's kind of like a hall of mirrors. So you see that our tangles and their tangles, and none of them are inherent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody's a little bit different. So this is one of those practices where there's flexibility to pursue it in a way that works for you.